And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock God Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock God Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to very busy San Diego Landings in Point Loma. And we have a great guy here, Jeff Roberto from Sushi on a Roll. We're learning so much, and he came bearing gifts.
Yeah, you're not kidding that, boy. If you didn't catch the beginning of the show, so generous of Jeff and his whole team. $100 gift certificate to Sushi on a Roll. We're giving one away to one of our lucky callers at the end of the show today. Another $100 gift certificate to one of our texters that text the show today. Again, texting only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app, and make sure that you include your contact info. And then as an ultra bonus, Jeff's going to flip a coin at the end of the show. The winner of that coin, the coin's going to designate whether we go to caller or a texter. You're going to get a bonus of a brand new handmade high carbon steel Anza fillet knife. Rad prize for a couple lucky caller and texter
to go along with learning about making sushi, right?
Definitely.
Yeah, well, hey, phones are packed, texts are going crazy, and I gotta tell you, let's go ahead and jump in the phone.
You got it, buddy. Let's talk to Jim. Jim's calling us from National City this morning. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Morning, Jeff.
Hey, morning,
you know,
Jeff.
One of the good things about living in National City is that Jeff's market is about 3 minutes from my house. So I met Jeff about 5 years ago. Yeah, I hang out there, and yes. You know, you can sit there, watch him make his sushi, cut up his fish. I mean, it's the market is quite a place, and like I said, I hang out there quite a bit. You know, I could go on and on about the greatness of Jeff, but what I wanted to mention is that behind every good man, there's a good woman. And I was lucky enough to meet his girlfriend, Sandra, and what a great person. And the two of them, they do so much for the fishing community. You know Pete and Rick that he volunteers quite a bit for the CCA, doing different events for them. And I'm just
Captain Royal Kids at Sea is always at those events.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you're a giver. And you always have been.
Yeah,
you
know, no doubt.
With the fishing industry.
It's been fun, definitely. Yeah. I learned a lot from you guys.
So do you ever get to go fishing?
I do. Yeah, fishing's good. It's I go right now. I do food with Scott and his Intrigue and his yacht. But I get to go out there probably before COVID. It probably was the last time I went out.
Oh, you, cater on Scott's side?
Yeah, they hire me on the boat. And
oh, no
do
kidding.
Sushi on the boat, yeah, for like a six-pack. And the one trip, we ended up getting 18 in like less than 3 hours. Or excuse me, 28 in less than 3 hours. We caught 11 in like the first hour, nothing the second.
11 tuna?
Tuna, yellowfin. And then the third one, we got 17 in like half an hour.
Wow.
And so, they were so tired. I didn't get to feed them. They passed out after 3 hours, the whole trip.
So for those who don't know, he's Scott Mizell, who owns the Condor, also has the Intrigue, which is like a luxury six-pack style Michelson. And so you'll do passengers with you on board, do the sushi, teach them how to roll, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, fish a little bit with them, let them kind of bring it all in. And, you know, it's fun to kind of watch how people kind of, they want that. They see that 100-pound foamer, and they want it, right? But a lot of these guys, not to say they don't fish, but to catch a 100-pound,
that's a ton of work. That's a ton of work.
I like those 50-pounders. Much more user-friendly.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Jim, nice to hear from you. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
You.
Got a great text here, and this is from Manhattan Beach and from Larry. And he says, can you eat fresh tuna, or should you freeze it first to kill the parasites?
Right,
that's a good question.
Yeah, totally.
So hopefully, hopefully it doesn't have parasites where you're catching it, for one.
Can you see it, first of all?
You can definitely see most of them, yeah. And if it does, and that's the same thing when I buy it, so I got to know where my vendors buy it their fish from. But freezing it is a curing process for us. Even with salmon, you want to and you don't want to hold it too long. You don't hold it for, like, 6 months to a year. Just freeze it. We use it for, like, a week. Like, salmon will kind of freeze it, but it cures it. So if there's any bacteria from it, it'll slow them down. You really don't kill them. But depending on where you're buying your fish from, it's...
So don't just sashimi salmon, freeze it first.
Right, right. Unless, so what I buy is I buy pellet-fed farm-raised salmon. Right,
and yeah, the like organic farm raised.
Right, and that advantage to that is because that pellet doesn't have bacteria versus feeding it bait, right?
Okay.
So I can actually eat that salmon right when I get it. Once I fillet, I can eat it raw right away. If it's like not pellet fed, then you got to freeze it for a minimum 24 hours.
Okay.
What about tuna?
Tuna, again, depending on where you get it from, it's okay to freeze it, but like we talked about earlier, bring it down to 41 degrees. Right? Out of the water, chill it for a little bit, and then you can eat it. It's okay to eat it straight that way, but if you eat it at its high 60 degrees, it's just kind of funky. But chill it.
People will, like, get a tuna and cut it side on scene and eat it. It's, like, more like for the ritual part of it, like, hey, we did it, but, like, that piece of fish versus a piece of fish that's been, you know, properly taken care of, like from the same fish, you know,
right.
That fish comes over, hits the deck, and, you know, the guys are high-fiving and celebrating and drinking a cold one and cut a piece off of it. That bite that you take versus that same fish when it was, you know, bled and iced and relaxed and it sat on ice for 24 hours where you cut it and everything, it's a whole different world. You know,
right.
One of it you're having to chew through and the other one like hits your tongue and it melts and dissolves. You know, it's amazing the process that happens when it's taken care of.
Right, right. And don't forget the paper towels. So even when you fillet that and you're going to eat it on the boat and a couple hours later when it's chilled, wrapping in paper towels will pull that moisture off and you get the best flavor.
Yeah.
It's all about the flavor, because when that moisture is still in it and you dip it in your soy sauce or your ponzu, it kind of dilutes it, right?
Yeah.
So you don't get the right. But if you put a paper towel on it and kind of soak it, you'll see it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then AFCO makes those filet cloths, which are like paper towels on steroids.
Exactly.
So you wrap it in that, and it just sucks that moisture
right.
out.
And that's
unbelievable.
What you want. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it. Yeah. So you got to take your time with the fish, right? I mean, you can eat it within an hour. But right off the boat, it's just very different. Yes.
The longer you let it sit on ice, the better tuna's going to relax, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how many days?
So I would even say, like we did one with Ollie, and he puts it in the kill bag for, like, with ice in it, like 2 days, 3 days.
Yeah.
Get it nice and cold, and it'll be okay, but don't wait like a week.
Yeah.
You know, week,
but
2 weeks.
2-3 days is ideal,
the primo
right?
window.
That's
right,
what
right.
the Hawaiians say. I learned that in Hawaii.
Oh,
it's like
yeah.
the guys won't even touch it for 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Nice and firm and all
yeah.
that. But what happens is a lot of people will keep their fish for weeks and because it has a head on tail, and they still think it's sashimi grade fish, you know. Be careful with that stuff. Just... you got to cut it early enough where it's going to chill. And then vacuum pack, you get these processors to do it for you. And you'll see how amazing how long the longevity of it is.
But the
parties.
So the ideal thing right now, there's some very good yellowfin tuna fishing, relatively local, San Diego and the Liberty having great yellowfin tuna fishing. And a fish that's easy to, you know, easy of size to manage where, you know, there's a lot of fish right now that are 10 to 30 pounds. So, and the only reason I say that is the fish that we could, in theory, easily keep on ice for that long.
Right,
so
right.
you're saying perfect thing, get the fish, spike it, bleed it, get the guts out of it.
Right.
Then get it on good ice, like in a kill bag, and you
right.
would leave it now whole, not filleted, but you would leave it whole on ice for a couple of days.
Yeah,
if you're
okay
just trying to make
days,
the
yeah.
most primo
right,
product.
Right, right, right.
2 days, then you pull it out and cut it, and then eat
exactly.
it side on
exactly.
scene.
Exactly, and keep the skin on. Even when you fillet it, keep the skin on, right? Because you don't want to cut all the way to the skin when you're cutting the meat up part of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because okay. there's a lot of tendons right there, so we actually scrape it with a spoon. And then you get more, we call it the scrape. And the scrape, and that stays better than the fish, but it just melts in your mouth.
But leave the skin on.
Leave the skin on. So then you fillet the skin off. So you cut it to maybe a...
So don't peel the skin off.
Yeah.
Don't do that where you're grabbing the skin and ripping it. Okay.
Exactly. Leave the skin on. And then when you kind of fillet your portions and leave it like a quarter inch on top,
uh-huh.
then you take a spoon and you scrape that, and that's just money.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I get a lot of people like that. And that's what I do with the big fish, like with the Poke Fest. I show people this, right? In between the rib cage, you can't really get in between that with your
mm-hmm.
knife. So you take a spoon and you get it. It sits there. It doesn't move. It just gets all nice
that's
and yummy.
That's stuff you put in the rolls and
yeah,
oil. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
So what about ikijimi process?
Oh, shoot. I think that's the way to do it. If you got the time to do it, especially with the
does it make a difference?
It does. It's longevity, right? Yeah. It's and if you put them side by side, it's probably the only way you can tell how it's done. You know, like days later.
Uh-huh.
But otherwise, if you got the time to do it, it's just the best. And you see what happens in a lot of these boats, you'll see it spiked already. And like we talked earlier before. If it's a smaller fish and you can't really find that one in the head, you just go right to the tail and mm-hmm. all day long.
Yeah. And now, back to parasites, what about yellowtail?
Yellowtail, not the same thing. You can freeze it. I don't see too many parasites in yellowtail.
No, in yellowtail.
Yeah, but very different from the one we use in the sushi bar. The one we get in sushi bar is the farm-raised one in Japan.
Yeah.
So very oily, called hamachi, right? So that's
it's a different type of fish.
That was one of our questions from Tex, and it was from Ron. And he was just saying, one, how much he loved the show. But, his question was that, you know, sometimes on the sushi menus I see yellowtail, but it often says Japanese yellowtail, hamachi. Is there a difference between the Japanese yellowtail and the local yellowtail?
Right, very much so. And especially very much the oil content. So you can't really call our local yellowtail hamachi because it doesn't have that oil.
Yeah, and but it's a totally different color, too.
Very different color, very different flavor, texture. But if you eat it fresh, fresh is fresh, right? But if you put them side by side, like when I do the Cedros trip with Frank, we would put them side by side. We do a class and we put them side by side. You can tell the difference. But when you eat fresh yellowtail here, I mean, it's so versatile. You can do it from sashimi to fish tacos, and there's so many things you can do with it. The hamachi one, the one from Japan, it kind of has a shelf life of a day. And someone's got to eat it all the whole day, right?
Jeff was the one that turned me on on one of those Royal Polaris chef trips to the yellowtail collars.
Yeah.
That was never my thing.
No,
I don't know, too much,
so
kind of funky. Thin, like, I don't know, I was always a clean, give me a top loin filet guy,
right.
And Jeff turned me on to those, like, grilled.
Hamachi.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah, they're so good. I think that's where Sean knows I'm on the boat because there's a lot of orders for the collars.
It's so good.
It really is.
It is.
Yeah. The other thing Sean taught us a while ago, and he did pictures of these, is when you get your fish back from Fisherman's Processing, and if you know you're going to freeze it right away.
Right.
Because he showed pictures of, and it was pretty obvious, that stuff that wasn't frozen for 2, 3, 4 days, it's not as good as the stuff that you froze right away if you know you're going to freeze it, right?
Crystals in there. Yeah, and so sometimes if you know you're not going to freeze it, like when I had fish and I just got too much work, Sean just put it in his freezer for a day.
Yeah.
Right? Because in your household freezer, if you take a pound of fish, it might take 5, 6 hours to freeze it solid. So that's where it can honestly start building bacteria.
Oh.
Right? But if you take like Sean's freezer, a commercial one that freezes in an hour solid,
yeah.
Right, then you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you know you're going to freeze it, have them, you know, I just say, hey, freeze.
Yeah.
You know, 90% of it and keep 10%
right,
of it fresh.
And maybe ask Sean first before that. I don't want to throw him out there. But,
yeah.
Because I think what it does is build ice crystal in his pack. And then when you freeze it, you know, 4 or 5 days later, it kind of builds that, it'll kind of burn around it, right?
But more importantly, go pick up your fish.
Yeah.
Don't leave it in their freezer, man.
Those poor guys.
I mean, these guys leave fish in their freezer, and it's just not fair,
yeah,
man. It's like it causes a huge issue for them. It costs them money. They have to buy more freezers. If you give them fish, pick it up.
Yeah, go get it.
Right.
Yeah,
go get it.
Really. Yeah. Hey, another good text here, because we were talking about classes, and it's from Alex, and he wants to know more about your classes.
Absolutely.
Is there a website? Can we learn more about your classes
on
your website?
So ours is a Sushi Fest, like Sushi Festival, SD.com.
Sushi Fest.
Fest, right. So we created
SD.com.
So we created the world record of sushi in one single day, 24 hours. We created almost 30,000 pieces of fish.
Oh my gosh.
And we cut we cooked like 1,100 pounds of rice. We did like 9 bluefin tunas, and the list goes on, right? So it's just not about rolling. It's about cutting fish and other stuff. But the classes, you look on that, and you can call me. I'll give you my number, 619-518-1468. We do class at your house, at your office, on your boat, on the golf course, wherever you need it, right?
That's what's so cool about what you do is you're very custom to what your customers want to do,
right.
Whether it be at your shop, whether it's you going there, whether it's you just doing a private thing in somebody's kitchen, like very accommodating.
Yeah, definitely, and I think it's a fun way to do it, right? So to get all of San Diego, that's what you want, right? And so we do a lot of corporate stuff, so I get corporate clients that want to learn how to cut fish, learn how to roll, and that money is just, yeah, we'll take it all, right? But it's a unique thing, and a lot of these sushi chefs can teach, but a lot of them got to work the sushi bar.
Yeah.
So I'm probably the only one that doesn't have a sushi bar, And so I can go anywhere, right? I can go anywhere on a Friday night. I can go anywhere on a Monday. I can go anywhere on a Wednesday lunch.
Yeah,
and,
right.
Yeah, just tell me where to go, and I can kind of just do it. You know?
What a cool corporate event. Like, if
no
you have an office,
doubt, man,
I mean,
team building?
Hey, it's a great team building event to bring in and say, hey, let's have a sushi class right here at our headquarters.
Yeah.
We can have one right here in the world headquarters.
Yeah,
right?
I like your style. Yeah.
How many people for that?
So it could be upwards. I mean, two people is good, but we can go, I've done upwards up to 180.
Really?
Right? So then you break up into
but
teams.
I mean, so you can do like a group of 10 or
yeah,
a group of 8
a good
or
size.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 10, 20 is a good size
yeah
at your home.
You'll bring the sushi bar
and
there.
Bring it all there. So
give them all the classes.
So
and
we'll
stuff
discuss the menu. We do start a little appetizers, right? So people
yeah
aren't hungry while I'm talking. And then we'll do the classes. And people want to get there. They want to touch the rice. They want to play rice.
I love it.
Will you do it in L.A., Orange County,
oh, very
San
much
Diego?
So, very
so
much.
You'll,
anyway,
you'll
yeah
travel anywhere in Southern California.
So during COVID, that first June of COVID, 2020, we actually did one in 11 houses in Hawaii.
Wow.
And so we shipped all the proteins and the rice and all that stuff to Hawaii. And then we did a Zoom class for them. And they
cool
loved it, right? And so that's what we're trying to start with that whole deal. But it takes a lot of work to kind of set all that up. And,
so what happens if you Google sushi on a roll? Are you going to find it?
Yes, put that and you'll find all of us.
You'll find it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the store too?
And the store will be on there. Definitely
yeah
called Kyoto. It's
Kyoto
supposed to be the capital of Japan.
Yeah,
so
beautiful
but
city.
Yeah, in Japan. I don't know if you guys have been to Japan.
I've
but
been.
You gotta,
yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
You know, my wife and I went to Japan in 2019 just before COVID. And we had the time of our lives. And we talk about it. It's like, we can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
And we got to tour the Toyosu fish market.
Oh,
thanks to Ted.
Right,
and,
right.
And
unbelievable.
The Japanese people just know how to eat fish.
Right.
Period.
Oh,
I mean,
period.
They respect it. I mean, it's just unbelievable how it's next level. Man.
Yeah, I mean, you go in that market, it doesn't smell fish.
No.
It just smells like
no
the ocean, and it's just fish after fish after.
Yeah.
And you want to try it all. You
yeah
know,
it's
just. It's
actually
cool
there. I put like the tour on our YouTube channel, Let's Talk Hook Up YouTube channel. There's actually a tour of the Toyosu Fish Market when Malali and I went through it. It's
so
quite
cool
fascinating.
Definitely. And when they
yeah
got the fish there, they got the 200-300-pound fish they just bought
oh, yeah
from the auction block. They cut it right on the rickshaw cart, right? They don't put it on a cutting board.
Yeah.
They cut it right on the cart.
It's
and they're
so
the loins are like 80-pound loins.
Yeah.
Come on.
And you see stuff that you didn't even know existed
yeah
in the ocean. It's yeah, like
I'll
you
bet
go
I'm
through
sure
the market and like, what the heck is that?
And
that's
that
cool
store does, because they do trade sales around
mm-hmm
the world, right? So they do like $15, $20 million a day.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And all that produce.
Crazy.
And fish and
yeah
all that. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah. And if you haven't been to Japan, I encourage you to go, because
yeah
the Japanese people are so courteous. The country
definitely
is immaculate. The
yeah
transportation there is unbelievable. I mean, it's
yeah
it's really a wonderful place to visit.
Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
Now, I think it's opened up this month,
yes,
October.
Yeah, yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, the food there is not that expensive unless you go to the high-end places. It's
yeah
just like when you
no
go to Convoy and you go there. I must say eight or ten times a day because you see the fake food there. Like, that looks good. I'm going to
yeah
go to this one. You know, it's just
yeah
unbelievable.
That's
yeah, cool
yeah, for sure.
All right. Hey, let's jump into it. We got the man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guy standing by today. That catch report is sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing. We've been talking about them all morning. They're the best processor for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, now with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase fresh fish. You can get their smoked and jerkied fish, their rubs, their smoked cheese, the tuna burgers, the poke kit, all available at their location on Old Town and Taylor Street, or order online at fishermansprocessing.com. Be sure to make your reservations. We've been talking about a bunch. The fishing is still phenomenal. The crew is on the ropes. They're doing everything they can to take care of every person, but there's just too many people right now that want that Fisherman's Processing service. So the only way for you to get in line is to make that reservation. You can just send them a text at 619-255-3128. Hey, Sean. Hey, Melanie. I'm going fishing. I'm going, you know, on the Pacific Queen on Wednesday night. I'd like to see about getting a reservation. That's it. That's all you got to put down. They'll get back to you, let you know availability, all that kind of good stuff.
For sure.
You got it. Hey, with that said, let's find out what's going on. It's time for our FishDope.com reporter, your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick. I'm down here in Baja Catina with Wayne Bisbee. They're getting ready for the tournament down here. It's
ooh
big, big week down here in Cabo San Lucas. A lot going on, a lot of boats, a lot of big money this year. They can't even comprehend how big the money is going to be at the tournament this year. It's a big, big deal. So pretty exciting. So we're down here getting ready to go fishing for the day. I'm going to go see if I can't catch a fish. But what's going on up there is still pretty incredible. Like Ricky was talking about yesterday, I heard that fish behind Clemente It's that big fish again. It's big fish. A lot of 200, a lot of 250-pound fish behind Clemente. They're settling in back there like they've done the last 5 years. And that Mad Mac has changed the whole situation. Now, it's making it very, very simple for a lot of guys that were having a hard time figuring out how to fly the kite. That Mad Mac is still working very good for that big fish. Trolled at about 12 to 14 knots. It's absolutely incredible. And then the calico bass fishing at both islands is insane. And then what's going on below the border there? Big schools of yellowfin. I talked to Todd Manser. He just took the boardroom down to Mag Bay. And he pretty much said from the Hidden Bank all the way to Mag Bay, he had to pull the lures out of the water, Pete. He said it was just incredible. The volume of yellowfin all the way down the Baja is just absolutely mind-boggling. So I don't think this thing's even close to being over. And I heard Brian talking this morning. They're still seeing that Dorado. They're still seeing that Mahi offshore. Just need some consistent, nice weather. I know we got a little weather front going through, but I wouldn't be surprised if we got a rebite on that Mahi again in Southern California. There's so much fish stuck in that water. And then, you know, it's just the lobster fishing for this week has just been insane. The commercial guys are having a great time, and now the little bit of rain we had at San Pedro in L.A. Harbor, I got some phenomenal pictures last night. Guys doing really good up there in the harbor, so we're hitting on all cylinders. All I can say is, like I say every week, you got to go fishing. There's no reason to not go.
Yeah, and fishdope.com, Dan and the boys doing such a phenomenal job keeping you on the fish. They're $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. 365 days a year, they're on it. Fishdope.com, an absolute must if you're a fisherman. And Dave, how
absolutely
do we find you?
Gang, check me out at yoursaltwaterguide.com on every piece of social media, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere. Your Saltwater Guide. Your Saltwater Guide. And I will talk to you guys next Sunday with reports of giant blue and black marlin.
Yeah. Hey, Dave, any prediction of the numbers in of boats in the Bisbee this year?
Well, right now, Wayne's staying in the big Bisbee. Right now, he already has 178 boats registered.
Oh, my gosh.
And so it's going to be over 200, and they're predicting somewhere around 16 million this year.
Oh my God. Man.
I hope someone gets one of the big ones. Like the triple rollover across the board. Yeah. Like I just
oh my God.
That's going to be so cool.
Right. Wow, good luck.
It's going to be cool either way. I'm going to be out with your buddy and my buddy Cubby, Kevin Paul,
on the
Captain Hook.
Cool.
So.
Well, good luck, man. So, go get them, and we'll get the report next Sunday. The actual tournament is when?
Well, 25th? Let's see. I'm looking on the board. Everything's so exciting. Yeah. I think it's the 25th through the 29th.
Yeah, okay, 25th. So it's not next. You won't be able to report the finals next.
The
Little Bisbee before that, yeah.
The Little Bisbee we'll be talking about next Sunday.
Yeah, Little Bisbee's
all right, you guys.
100 boats, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
It's good one.
Dollars.
All right.
For the little one right now.
Go get them. Appreciate it. Talk to you next week.
See you guys.
Want to remind you, you got to focus your offshore fishing in the best areas, and the best way to do that, no question, it's using Terrafin charts. Terrafin's got temperature, chlorophyll, and more. Terrafin is the professional's choice for dependability and for accuracy, and now with Terrafin Mobile, you can download the latest charts to your iPad, your iPhone, or your Android device. Check Terrafin.com for more information. It's the easiest, fastest source for great water chart info.
No question. Terrafin.com is the best.
You got it. Hey, let's jump right back into the phones. This time, we're going to talk to Steve. He's calling us from South Park in San Diego. What's up, Steve? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, Steve.
Looks like we might have lost Steve there, so why don't we jump back into the phones and try talking to Tom. Tom's calling us from Temecula this morning. Tom, good morning. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Morning, guys. Morning, Jeff. Great show.
Morning.
Couple questions. First of all, I caught about a 100-pound bluefin this year, and I noticed the loin. There's a darker portion of the meat and a lighter portion of the meat. I think a darker portion tends to be towards the middle of the loin or the backbone. Could you comment on the use of both those types of meat? And then how does our bluefin out here compare to the bluefin that's caught, like, on the East Coast? I know, you know, they have a lot of concern about the marbling of fat within the meat and that sort of thing. Basically, do you think our tuna out here, our bluefin out here, is comparable?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Even out of our water, I mean, you can get that within hours, right? I mean, you get it from even, say, Hawaii, it's going to be 5 hours older. Here, you get it from a friend's boat and freeze it, and or not freeze it, but fillet it, and you're ready to eat it. It's amazing that that marbling is. That's, you don't give that to your friends. You keep that for yourself.
But they, what's the best cut?
Definitely the belly. So there's old total within that middle part. So you get a, say you get a rectangle within that middle. That rectangle is the best part of that belly.
So how do you get, how do you access that meat in the belly? Because it's like you get this belly, like a fisherman's process, and say, I want the belly. You get this, especially on the bigger fish, you get these big, giant flat things with skin on both sides, yeah, basically. Right. How
that's
do you
the belly.
Access it?
So that's what you want. They'll give you, obviously, they give you the whole fish, but the one with the skin on the top is actually the lining, right? And that's what you want. That's going to keep the belly and the oil all in there. But that's where you cut that out, and then so now you have
so,
a
so you
square.
Fillet both of the
correct.
Both of the skins off,
yeah,
on both sides.
So the white part is the lining that you take off first, and then you see the flesh of the fish, and then that's where you kind of cut it straight down at that point. Instead of kind of a horizontal, you go vertical. And you cut, we call saku blocks. But within that middle, that square, is the old total, the best of the best. But if you put them side by side, you can probably tell, but that whole belly is just money. You're going to pay, at you know, wholesale, I'll pay for like $70 a pound for that stuff.
$70 a pound. So
yeah,
don't throw away the belly.
Don't throw away the belly, yeah, yeah. And yeah, again, keep it for yourself and give the rest for your other friends.
So when you get it from Sean, it's got skin side down, and it's got like that skin liner, the stomach liner on the top. For, is the first move to remove the skin layer, or do you like to remove the top layer first and let, you know, like...
I'll do the top layer first. Definitely okay. Keep the skin down on your board, right? And then...
the outer lining. Layer.
Yeah, the inner layer.
The inner layer. Take that off
first. The lining first.
So now you've got the outer skin down on your board.
Right.
Do you like to cut that off, or do you make your cuts...
I would keep it on there.
...into the fish first?
Yeah. What I normally do is I cut into the blocks and that, right? So we get a square.
So your square still has the skin on it.
The skin's still on it, correct.
Okay.
The outer skin.
Correct. So then you only want to go maybe a quarter inch above the skin. Well, that one, there's probably no tendons in that at all. But when you get to toward the tail, you don't want to go all the way to the skin because then you want to scrape that with a spoon
to
get away from the tendons. But you can kind of get it that way and you kind of get your nice cuts that way. And you still kind of scrape. You'll see all that oil on the skin now, on the white side of the skin.
Okay.
All that oil. You put rice on top of it or something and just grab all that oil because all that oil is just
the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice having fired up.
Now in your classes, will you teach people
very much
filleting
so.
And
very
stuff
much
too?
So. Even when we do these ones, when I take the whole fish, I kind of, yeah, people want to know, right? People want to see it and
yeah.
We don't have the time to do it. And so we kind of tell them all that. And I think what he's talking about, it could be, I don't know if it's a bloodline that you're talking about or there's a, we call it a kame red. So you take the bloodline, which is really dark, and you can eat it. It's just a lot of iron. You'll give
yeah.
it to your cats. But then you take the darker red, which is good, which a lot of people like because it's less oily. Right, and we call that akame, which is the red, like I said, and then towards the belly is the best. But you go from, say, it's from the head is going to be the best part, right? Towards, obviously, towards the tail, but that top line you're talking about that sits right on top of the spine is the, I would say, is the best of it all because it doesn't move; it just sits on that spine and gets nice and yummy. So
yeah.
you take that part off, and I tell people, yeah, that's what the sushi chefs eat. You kind of take that off, and so you guys don't get to see that. But that scrape is amazing too, right? Even the tail. All those tendons there, you scrape it all off and be the best.
That's something that I want to do now because you've referred to the scrape multiple
yeah.
times. And you can tell, like, the patch in your voice that, like, that's, like, your thing. Like,
very much
and that,
so.
That's something that I've never
done. I've never
even,
done it
never.
Either.
Yeah.
I throw it away, right? I throw it away the best part, right?
I'm a sport boat guy. I learned to cut tuna. You know, you cut around them, you grab the skin flap, and you rip it off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and it is. You're right. It leaves all that, you know, sinew,
yeah,
tendony,
right?
Whatever. So you like to cut your knife above that, and then what's left over, so when you cut your quarter inch above
right.
the skin to make your knife blade, then you go through with
yeah,
a spoon, and
spoon.
Then you scrape that off.
So all the less tendons in there, and you just, yeah, so that's what we do the bumps with, right?
Okay.
You take it, and you scrape it, and these people at parties or whatever, you put it on their little fist, and they eat it, and they're like,
wow.
And it's blown away, right? I mean, it's just fish. It's the same fish. But when you do stuff like that,
it's just right.
Yeah, when you take it to another limit, it's just amazing. I mean, the whole fish is amazing.
Yeah.
But to show them that you can kind of get to the better and better, right?
So I love it.
Even that, you kind of go down the line and go from the tail to the belly to the top loin to the head and see where you like, right? And definitely the texture and the oil content.
Yeah. Well, hey, phone lines have been packed all day, but there's a line open right now. You want to get through 213-432-1090.
When we come back, we're going to be taking those phone calls and a lot more of your texts. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California's sport fishing voice. It's the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and that Let's Talk Hookup app.
Are you passionate about fishing and in the great outdoors, but not quite sure where to go? Look no further than Queen Charlotte Safaris in pristine British Columbia, Canada. Hello, this is Valerie Hopritch. There's so many reasons to join us on your next fishing adventure. A few of the highlights of fishing in protected, calm waters. Very important. Quality Chinook salmon run all season long. After you've caught your salmon, we're going to go out for the great Pacific halibut, lean cod, rockfish, and Dungeness crab. Our beautiful lodge overlooks Shingle Bay and Sandspit, and it's so easy to get to. Fly from almost any airport into Vancouver and then on to Sandspit. Fish processing, your fishing license, your gear, all included. Just bring that fishing arm and that smile. Let our chef pamper you with amazing meals while our staff gives you wonderful hospitality, all included in your Queen Charlotte Safaris package. Give me a call on our toll-free number, 1-877-815-2892, or go to our website, qcsafaris.com.
Hey guys, this is Ali Husseini from Local Knowledge and BD Outdoors. I'm a lucky guy in so many ways, and one thing I'm really grateful for is my little brother, Yosef. Yosef is not only a fellow angler, but he's also an amazing realtor that specializes in helping us in the angling community find the ultimate home. If you own a home, get a free no-obligation evaluation online now by typing in SoCalHomeEval.com. That's SoCalHomeEval.com. All you do is put in your address, and you'll get a home value report immediately sent to your email. No pressure, no obligations, just answers. Yosef is the SoCal real estate go-to guy. He's helped me and so many of my fellow fishing buddies find what they're looking for in a home. He knows anglers and he understands the real estate market. Not only that, but he's also a really nice guy. How many brothers can you say that about? Go to SoCalHomeEval.com and find out where you stand in the real estate market and then get with Yosef and find your ultimate home. Again, go to SoCalHomeEval.com and we'll see you on the water.
All of us at the American Angler family want to express appreciation to our regular passengers that fish with us year after year and to the new anglers that came out this last season. We realize how precious your vacation time is, and we are truly grateful that you have chosen to spend this time with us. It's important that your experience is memorable, from the moment you call the office to the time you step off the boat. Hi, I'm Lori. Call me at the office, 619-223-5414, or check us out at AmericanAnglerSportFishing.com. Come fishing with the American Angler family and make a memory.
Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or schedule, check SeaforthLanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Saturday, November 5th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle, top tackle reps like AFTCO with Psycho Pro Fluorocarbon, and incredible deals on AFTCO clothing. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 5th.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning talking fishing. So much killer info. And like, I feel like we just barely scratched the surface. Like, I'm bummed and stoked at the number of texts we have.
Oh, there's
so many great things.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. This is, it's been a lot of fun for sure.
Yeah. Well,
the phones are packed. Again, like Pete said, if you want to get through, this has been one of the first times the entire show we've had a phone line available. That's 213-432-1090. And then lots of great text messages, including this one, from Roy from East County. Says, hi Jeff, had lots of questions on knives. Thank you for answering that one. Could you also talk a little bit about sharpeners? Do you recommend a stone or a steel? Or should we take it to a professional? Love to talk about knives. How about keeping them sharp?
Yeah, definitely.
Good question.
Yeah. The professionals will do it right for you, right? Depending on what you got. If you got a really nice knife, bring that to a professional. But what do you do if the Japanese knife with the bevel, you want to definitely use a stone. the stone, and that's tricky too, right? Not anyone can use the stone,
really?
And you gotta wet it and all this stuff. So there's different grates, obviously, but there's ones that are have just a bevel, a really small bevel that you use a steel with. And that's even kind of tricky on a stone because you're gonna create a whole new blade if you kind of use it like there's a bevel on it. It gets pretty touchy, the amount of the percentages or the angles and all that. It's very delicate, especially if you're buying a $100-$200 knife.
Sure.
Yeah, bring it to a professional. It'll take two minutes.
Yeah, professionally you recommend?
There's one guys that we use like Pro Edge.
Pro Edge.
On was that Mission Valley area?
Okay.
Mission Gorge
okay.
area. Just get something good, right? Like the high carbon blades will kind of keep it sharper longer.
Yeah.
But to do it on your own, and so many sushi chefs, you go to sushi bars, I did it for a buddy of mine, and then you don't know what you get out of your barter system that way. But bring it to the sushi bars. Let them show you how to do it before you kind of get
really?
Into it. Yeah, because you can make a whole different blade out of it, and
yeah.
it won't cut anything, right? So, like, these flame knives will have that bevel, that little really thin bevel.
Yeah.
So the steel is more of a finishing one, right? So you got to take it to a stone at one point. But that one just had to take the burrs off and kind of start going on,
gotcha.
Like on the boats, right?
But a really nice sushi knife.
Yeah.
Take it to a professional, and you don't need to do it that often, right?
Right, right. With the high carbon blade, you don't. So what actually dulls your knife is when you're cutting the board, not cutting. So that's why you do the rolls just for the Japanese knives, the sashimi knife, because it will stay sharper longer. But if you're pounding it and prepping with it, that'll dull your knife, right? It's not the protein; it's the board that.
So you have a different knife than you cut the rolls with.
Right, right. So
it's still a sushi knife.
And that's the main one. The yanagi, you cut sashimi and rolls only, right? No bones or anything like that. Because it's a very thin blade.
Uh-huh.
Then you have what we call a deba, which is like a cleaver. That'll just take a beating, and that's one you use for cutting through the bones. And yeah, be careful because that'll go through your finger too. But you want at least to those two knives, and then kind of just be careful because when you first get them, even if you buy something from a big box store, that knife is sharp. It'll cut you real quick.
Yeah,
so be careful.
For sure.
But when you spend a little bit, then it'll last a lot longer.
Well, one last thing on knives. You were talking about the high carbon knives are sharper and easier to sharpen, and they hold their edge and all those things, but they're a little bit more maintenance on your end.
Right.
What is the maintenance? You know what I mean? Like, you can't just throw it in the dishwasher and then call it good?
And you could definitely in the dishwasher, but you got to wipe it down.
Gotcha.
You got to dry it, because otherwise it'll rust, right? And the rust is a good thing, not on your blade, but at least you know it's a good blade, right?
Right.
Treat it with oil?
Treat it with oil a little bit, and then but definitely dry it. If you keep it in the dishwasher, it'll definitely rust.
Gotta dry it.
So if you don't necessarily should you always put oil on it when you're storing it, or is it just has to be dry?
You just don't want
to leave any moisture on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. A little bit of oil if you got it is good. It's a good thing. But,
what kind of oil you use?
There's a one for knives. I don't know what we use, but we go through our knives so much that. We barely
use oil.
You're
not storing them ever,
exactly.
You're just keeping them dry.
Right, right, right. And there's some good knives out there.
Like, you watch a good sushi chef, he's always had a rag and always wiping it down.
Yeah, there's always a wet rag and a dry rag. Right?
Yeah.
That's at the end. And that's what happens, too. Watch these guys. So I tell people with that sushi case in front of you, they hide from a lot of stuff because you can't see what they're doing. But look at their board. Peek over their board. See if it's all kind of messy, right? And you got to – it's got to be – you know, you're cross-contaminating a lot of stuff when it's messy like that, right? So you got to be careful. That's why you're wiping the blade, right? You cut salmon, wipe the blade, wipe the board. Cut tuna, wipe the blade, wipe the board. And you go from there. But if you got stuff all over the place, it's just kind of, it's mixing into what you have. But I usually do it like in my bar in Barrio Logan, the private one we had there. I put no case because that's how I teach my guys how to be more refined, right? Because you got to be clean because everyone can see your mess.
Speaking of clean, let's go live on the water right now. Mike's on the Tribute. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. Boat got in this morning. Sounded like a really good shot at some big gray bluefin. Got off the phone with Tyler, and they had one fish over 200 pounds, nine fish over 100.
Oh.
He said, and one of these days I'm going to get him to actually call in. I don't. If it was social media and if he had the ability to text in, it would have been a done deal, but. You know how our youth is.
Yeah, well, that's awesome news that big fish is still biting.
Yeah, he said it was good. He said there's a few different people that got spooled on 80 pound. He stressed, you know, how important it is to bring out the heavy gear. He ended up with a dozen of those bluefin, one yellowfin, and a few Dorado. But mostly, he said very, very good opportunity on big, on the big game. So. One fish, I think, at 204, 209, somewhere right in there, and some 140 to 170 pounders. So really, really nice weather. I guess they didn't experience a whole lot of rain that, you know, we got to see watching the Padre game last night.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, is this a daytime fish or nighttime fish or both?
There's both. There's both. Wow. There's a shot at both of them. There's good day, midday action. Make sure you bring your sinker rigs as well. And, we're going back out tonight. We only have 13 guys, but I know there's probably a lot of people that are going, well, we don't have to watch the Padre game tonight since they sealed the deal last night. Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, and the weather, like you say, the weather's beautiful, and the fish are biting. So if we want to get on the Tribute, how do we do it?
I guess Seaforth Landing, a call, 619-224-3383. You can book through seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. And, yeah, weather looks like it's going to be great again tomorrow. Just a little bit of rain, but for the most part, very nice conditions and a really good shot at some of those bigger bluefins. So good time to hop on board. And we got some availability here throughout the week, Tuesday night and Thursday night's trip as well. And that's some really good yellowfin fishing to go along with it, as well as still very good dorado shots.
Perfect. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Tribute Sport Fishing is SeaforthLanding.com. Get on the boat. Get on the Tribute. And we always appreciate your up-to-date information, Mike, and we'll talk to you real soon. All right. Thanks a lot. Hey, let's go ahead and jump in the phones, Rick.
You got it, buddy. Let's start off with Hills. Hills Thomas from Ventura this morning. Hi, Hills. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Man, there's some good surf fishing. I've released like five short, well, they're all short halibut, though, but at least I'm catching some. Anyways, wanted along halibut lines. My Mexican buddies don't make ceviche with halibut because they said it's got parasites, and I was wondering what Jeff's take on halibut is.
Yeah, halibut is amazing fish. You just got to know where you get it from, and a lot of the, if you see any parasites, it's probably in the belly, so you can kind of cut that out, cut it just halfway down and eat the tail.
Is that a fish that you would freeze first?
Not necessarily, yeah. You don't want to do it. Yeah, just keep it nice and cold. With us, it's depending on what the vendors that you get it from, right? You get one that has parasites, and you don't order from them again, right?
Yeah.
But you just got to be careful, and that's what you got to know. You're either your fishmonger, your vendor, or your sushi chef, right? If you don't know the sushi chef. So, the easiest way to get you to know your sushi chef is buy him drinks.
Buy him drinks.
There you go.
Back in the day, in the 90s, Yakitori, that's all we did. And then the owners, like, let us drink. And, oh, my gosh, all these bars they've opened up. Even Junior Seau, that's what his first deal with me is, you got to drink, right? And you don't drink to get hammered. You drink to have fun with your
sure,
guests.
Sure. Yeah, fine. You're wielding hard, sharp knives. You don't want to get hammered.
Yeah, and that's the whole deal, right? You got to put a show on still. But, yeah, go to a new sushi bar if you're traveling somewhere and you don't know if it's any good. Give the sushi chef a drink if they can, or at least offer it and see what you get at
right.
that point. And you might get a really good halibut. That's obviously that was a lot cleaner. But, yeah, it's so simple. You got to sit at the bar, though. You got to get to know us, hang out with us a little bit, and you'll see it. Because my rookie guy is probably serving you if you're sitting at the table, right? And you don't know what he's putting out. He doesn't get the best of the fish that I have at this point, right? Because I cut the fish in the morning. I pick what I want, and then he gets whatever's left. And then the to-go before COVID, I think the to-go is even the worst, right? It's my dishwasher guy that's doing all that, right, trying to practice because you don't know what's going out there. So be careful, but get to know where you go eat out at and find a nice house that you kind of
develop a relationship.
Yeah, definitely. And then you'll see it, right? You'll see what they got. And then if I know who you are and you sit at the table, you have mom and dad's in town, you got a big group of eight, and then I'll take care of you at that point. But if I don't know who you are, you know, anywhere at that table, it's just, you know, I got to take care of 10, 20 people at my bar.
Sure.
But, you got to be careful out there. But that halibut is phenomenal. And if you're hesitant to eat it raw, you can actually cook it, right? Maybe take that torch and you kind of just stir it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It gets nice and yummy and it's just, okay. It's nice and soft. But even the fin part of it, the fin fish we call it ingawa, which is very good, very kind of a little more chewy, a little more texture to it, but it's beautiful. And
so, one thing, you texted me a picture last week of sashimi lobster, right? Because it's lobster season. Sashimi, I never heard of sashimi lobster, right?
It's like eating amebi, right? The raw tail with the head. It's the same thing, but now we get this full tail. You might as well have
so how do you
a
prep
pound
it?
Of it. You just take it out of the tail. You can kind of blanch it real quick so it kind of disengages, if you will, from the shell,
mm-hmm.
and then you just leave it
blanch
raw.
Blanch the actual
tail. Or the whole fish, right? Right?
Yeah.
And kind of, or the whole lobster, and then kind of just blanch it so it kind of comes off.
Like
and you
blanch
it out.
For like a minute in hot water?
A minute, yeah, exactly. You pull it out, keep it in an ice bath, and then when you're ready, you kind of take it out. I put a little clarified butter on top, and you just go to town with it. It's just amazing.
It's good.
You know?
I'll bet that's
just
good.
Such a different texture, sweet, and especially now you get the big tail out here with the Pacific. Now you got a whole pound
that California lobster.
Yes.
We had some of the best. You were talking about halibut. We had some of the best halibut sashimi that I'd ever had. And again, a lot of it has to do with ritual too. We had it when we were in Alaska this last year, and we caught one of our fish, cut one of the cheeks out of one of the fish that we had. Our captain Simon prepared it for us. It was insane. It was a fish we caught the first day. We ate it all together as a group on the last day. And he said that it was kind of exactly like you were talking about, like the process of it resting. He said, you pulled that cheek out and tried to eat it that day. He said you would literally have to chew through each piece for minutes at a time. It'd be terrible. It would turn you off to it. That fish, that cheek, he rested it in the cooler for a day and then in the refrigerator the next day, and then we had it the final day. It was just
good.
It was one of the best things I've ever had. Again, part of one of the best things is the ritual. We had it on the back of the boat and the eagles, and we were having a cold one, and all the guys that caught it with in our group were together and dipping it so and popping it in. But it was amazing. It was a cheek of halibut that it was a hockey puck 3 days before, and then 3 days later, it was one of the best things we've ever had.
Let it rest.
Incredible.
Hey, another good test from Mark. Mark in Murrieta. Morning, boys. Get back from a long range trip and have my fish processed and pick it up a few days later, frozen. How long would it be good to use for poke and sashimi and sushi?
Yeah, I think definitely 6 months plus, depending on what kind
months.
Of depending on what bags you're using too, right? So
do you recommend the 5 millimeter?
Definitely. And depending on your freezer at home too. So there's a lot of variables, and once it starts building the ice crystals, that's where you kind of gotta get away from it. But I think the poke is the way to go, right? Because you put the sauce on it and all that
stuff.
But
you could still sashimi it.
What's the
difference between sashimi and sushi?
So sashimi is just the fish, rice at all. And sushi is, if you will, the whole realm of it, right? But sushi nigiri is with the ball of rice on the bottom, right? And that's what you get. But now poke is the whole different thing, and it just means cubed fish.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter about what the sauce you're using, but it's cubed fish from Hawaii. And so that's what you got to do. So if they're turning up like ceviche and they call it poke, it's not true poke.
Yeah.
Right? So it's got to be cubed. And then the sauce is like with Sean's sauce or some of these places.
Yeah, usually, Sean has a great poke kit.
I know.
Fisherman's Processing, it's like a no-brainer, right?
And that's what you want, right? You got other things to worry about. What kind of tackle you got to bring? Bring a bottle of his on the boat. You may poke on the boat,
Yeah, the spice, the poke mix. And
yeah.
It's like, you're done.
And then, you become like a professional. I think that's what you got to do. You got to buy the just really good quality stuff. You put it on that amazing bluefin out there. Because bluefin, you want to... I give bluefin to some friends, and not they don't need a whole lot of sashimi, and they want to cook it. Like, eat it raw for one day. Eat a little bit for raw.
It pains you to see meat put to that.
Oh, my God, it's the best. And then cook it the second day. But, when you get stuff like that, it's just amazing when it's... It changes people when they finally have it for the first time, right? Because they think it tastes like a steak. It's going to be chewy and just not good at the experience. But if you eat it, it just melts in your mouth. You get all that oil in your mouth. And you're just
so
like,
good.
Right, right? Yeah.
That's awesome. Hey, kind of along those lines, fun text came through. Good morning. Jeff, can you talk to me about sweet vinegar? Do you like the powdered mix? Do you mix your own? What's available at your market? All things sweet vinegar.
There you go. Yeah, definitely sweet vinegar. It's more of a seasoned vinegar, which has sugar and salt.
Is that like a Japanese vinegar?
It is. It's a rice vinegar. You can use the Japanese vinegar. Right. So there's a rice vinegar and the seasoned rice vinegar. The seasoned rice vinegar is what they're talking about. It has a sugar and salt, and that's what you put in on your sushi rice.
Okay.
So the vinegar is a preservative to hold the rice at room temperature without building bacteria. So if you put a lot of it and you want to taste the vinegar, then obviously you're going to taste the vinegar more than your fish. Mm-hmm. So I use like 6 to 7, or if like 5 cups at home, you're doing like 6 or 7 tablespoons, very little, just to hold it so it doesn't dry out. You can leave it on your counter, top on it like a Tupperware, and then you go buy your fish and come back at night and make your sushi. Because if you don't get past the rice, then you got all this fish that you're going to do, right? So the vinegar, so there's a seasoned rice vinegar, and you just look on the back, it should have sugar and salt. That's what you want to use. The powder is good if you're kind of taking it for traveling and all that stuff, and it's just kind of just very different. But the liquid is good, so you put it right on top of the hot rice when it's done, and then you mix it, right? You take the hot rice on the bottom, you bring it to the top, and you kind of break the grains, separate the grains, and you cool it. For us, for when we do 50 cups, we got to cool. It takes another hour to cool. So to make sushi rice for us for 50 cups takes almost 2 hours to make.
Wow.
So if you call me up and you need, sushi for 100, it's going to take me at least 2 more hours to get that rice first before we even start doing anything, right?
Gotcha. I dig it. Man, this is great. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's going to Sushi on a Roll with a $100 gift certificate and got themselves a brand new Ann's and I. More Let's Talk Hookup coming your way in the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
With gas prices going crazy, you certainly need to get the lowest price possible for your car or truck, and especially your trailer boat. That's why you need to visit Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. You're not going to just save pennies. You will save real money when you fill up at Summit Gasoline. Summit does not compromise on service. Oh, no. The great staff is attentive, friendly, and ready to help. When you pull up to the pumps, notice how clean everything is, the great sound system, and, of course, the low gas and diesel prices. Walk into the Summit Gasoline Bistro and check out the selection of frozen bait and chum, the top-of-the-line Italian coffee, and so much more. Get discounted Everingham Live Bait Certificates, your free 100 pounds of ice with a 35-gallon minimum purchase, and stock up on snacks, beer, water, and soda for your trip. Just when you need low gas prices most, Summit Gasoline at the Sports Arena comes to the rescue. Summit Gasoline, low prices, friendly staff, and easy in and out with your boat and trailer at the San Diego Sports Arena.
Filet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing APCO Filet Knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, APCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, APCO Filet Knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Filet Knives from APCO. Any fish, any water.
There are plenty of boat slips and marinas in San Diego, but there's only one Kona Kai. It's not just a place to park your boat. It's a way of life here in America's finest city. The Kona Kai Resort Spa and Marina has multiple swimming pools and a private beach, waterfront restaurants, and award-winning spa, most of which is included for marina tenants. Check ResortKonaKai.com for more information. The Kona Kai Resort, much more than just a place to park your boat. Cass Tours is a family-owned and operated travel company that specializes in taking you to great fishing destinations. They take pride in providing the best and most affordable vacation packages available. Cass Tours has been creating unique sport fishing and vacation trips for decades. Whether it's a fishing trip or a family vacation, they will provide you the service and value you deserve. Call Cass Tours at 800-593-6510 or check CassTours.com.
Saturday, November 5th is Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Come see seminars by saltwater experts, great deals on tackle from Shimano, like Terramar rods with TC4 blank construction. Tackle Day at Fisherman's Landing, Saturday, November 5th.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winner. This is a caller or a texter. So again, each caller and texter both are going to win a $100 gift certificate. So we're going to, one, say congratulations to our caller, which was Tom in Temecula. And then congratulations to our texter, that is Jeff in Mission Viejo. You guys each have a $100 gift certificate to Sushi on a Roll. And now Jeff's going to do us the big honors for the coin flip, find out who's getting themselves a brand new Ann's and I. And it's the texter. Congratulations, Jeff and Mission Viejo. You got the bonus of that killer Ann's and I.
Bonus. Hey, real quick, how do we find you?
There's a bunch of ways. Just call yourself is probably the easiest. 619-518-1468. Or just Google Sushi on a Roll and Google pop up everywhere. Yeah.
And that's definitely. the market, the sushi. If you want to book a
class,
the whole thing.
Go fishing and take Jeff. You on your boat or do fishing with you and catch the fish up.
Unbelievable so show. And we got to do it again for sure.
Definitely.
And thank you very much to JP for manning the phones and the board. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. We'll be back next Saturday. Bob Kurz from IGFA. Really interesting stuff next Saturday. And then next Sunday, Captain Tim Ekstrom from the Royal Star. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.